Upload complete. The info in this drop is available only for 20 seconds per cycle and will cycle at random times to avoid detection. If you're hearing this, you better have a team. You better be able and willing to accept a job. You can call me Opti, Fixer, Shadowrunner, Informational Anarchist. Today, however, I'm playing Mr. Johnson. I believe that if a team is well prepared, the better the chances of a run going smoothly. So I'll give you everything I can about the run before you accept. This mission revolves around a newer gang called the Deathheads. When the info is done, you'll hear the run. The Deathheads are a second or third tier go gang. They aren't really small potatoes anymore, but they have suffered recent losses that have prevented them from solidifying their influence, at least in the short term. They don't discriminate about who joins, but due to recent events, they are a bit suspicious of elves and tend to vet them a little bit more harshly. Their membership up to this point includes about 35% human, 35% orc, 15% dwarves, 10% trolls, and about 5% elves. The Deathheads wear simple black leathers, but those leathers are usually supplemented heavily with armor, spikes, weapons, and piercings covered in chrome. Their bikes are covered in the most polished and shiny chrome you can imagine, and when they ride en masse down a freeway, everyone within a mile sees reflections like a second sun. Their bikes are their most prized possessions, and many Deathhead gangers forsake any other luxury, even places to squat or eating food, in favor of upgrading their wheels. While their turf is solidly in Redmond, you'll find Deathhead gangers making their way into Seattle's western regions often enough, especially to raid a dealership or parts store for upgrades, and then hightailing it back to the Barrens where no one's going to come looking for them. And while they park their bikes in Redmond these days, they haven't always been so confined. The Deathheads began in an unconventional way for a Seattle gang. Years ago, around 74, as the Halloweeners continued to grow in power and numbers within the sprawl, factions began to spring up within the gang. The old guard and the new recruits began to develop their own styles, their own crews, and more importantly, their own attitudes toward Nightmare's leadership and plans for the Halloweeners. One of these factions, centered in Redmond, particularly in the neighborhoods surrounding the Jackal's Lantern, was headed by an old-school Halloweener rager named Carnival. Carnival recruited some of the most dangerous and capable weeners from this area and began to wield them like a sword in order to cement his place in Nightmare's regime. One night at a secret meeting of Halloweener ragers, Nightmare, their leader, speaking through his lieutenant named Absinthe, made it clear that there were going to be rewards for those who were able to take territory over from other gangs in Seattle and keep it. The one exception to these orders were the Ancients, as recent history made it clear that if the Halloweeners tangle with the Ancients again so soon after almost being wiped out by them just years before, everything that Nightmare was working towards would be forfeit. But this rager, Carnival, remembered the war with the Ancients. He still hated them for tearing down the Halloweeners, so he got his group of gangers, composed of Stubbs, a dwarven decker, Zephyr, human mage, Putt Dog, orcish brawler, Murakami, who is a swordsman adept, and Deadeye, a cybered rigger with a tenuous hold on his humanity, and he sent these guys, who had been making quite a name for themselves in the shadows, to covertly begin to take territory away from the Ancients and make sure that no matter what, it didn't come back to the Halloweeners. Carnival planned to take as much territory as he could, and when the time was right, present it to Nightmare as a gift, and perhaps replace Absinthe as Nightmare's second-in-command. As it turns out, it worked too well. The covert weeners hired a contact of mine, Mr. Pink, to work some face magic in some particular neighborhoods in the south end of downtown. Mr. Pink's involvement is the reason I have this information in the first place. Mr. Pink and the incognito weeners went into neighborhood after neighborhood, throwing money, food, and protection around, and recruiting existing gangs into a coalition. They formed a gang called the Deathheads as a front for their activities, and after a particularly lucrative run, they used the money to outfit all the new recruits with chromed-out bikes. Word spread, and gangs began to switch loyalties fast. The Deathheads developed an alliance with the Spikes and began to disrupt Ancients' cram-smuggling operations downtown. For about a year, the Deathheads grew and grew, gathering more and more neighborhoods under their influence and using cram revenue to funnel back into the gang itself. The founding gangers were increasingly pulled in other directions, both by Carnival's side projects and also by their increasing rep as Shadowrunners, so they appointed the most badass Deathheads ganger they had, a female orc named Fusion, to take over daily operations of the gang, while they continued as figureheads. They found an old bar run by a guy who was literally hardwired into the bar itself and functioned as owner, operator, bartender, and security. Goes by the name of Walter, used to run another bar in the area which shut down a few years ago. They threw lots of money at him, and he was convinced to change the name of the bar to the Silver Spoke. He allowed it to function as a front for Deathhead operations. Every few weeks, the Ancients would send a group to investigate why protection money had stopped and why their cram revenue had all but dried up, Whenever this happened, the death heads were quick to respond, and the neighborhoods loved them for it. Their protection rates were much lower, and the death heads made money back by pushing the cram into those same neighborhoods. For a time, it seemed that the death heads had succeeded in taking over these few neighborhoods from the ancients permanently. However, behind the scenes, Nightmare's second-in-command Absinthe had been tracking the gangers' activities, and, rather than go down with them, Carnival broke ties with them and left them stranded, because as it turns out, Absinthe had also given intel to the ancients. So it was that one night, during a grand rally at the Silver Spoke, the ancients struck en masse. Walter attempted to lock down the bar, but even at full strength, the death heads were no match for the ancients and their leaders. Walter held the ancients at the door long enough for most of the death heads to slip out to an underground garage and escape, but they were pursued into the Redmond Barrens, and they took heavy losses along the way. The gangers who had formed the death heads, with their original plans defeated, left the gang to fusion, and left the Halloweeners as well. Thankfully, the death heads had little more to their name than their bikes, and so moving their operation to Redmond has not hurt them too much. Their tactics and ferocity remain the same, and they have now claimed the 520 freeway as their turf for the last few years. Barons folk are far more pleased to pay protection money to gangs who actually protect, and Barons folk are also more than happy to spend their money on drugs in order to forget their lives, so the death heads are doing all right. Most recently, the death heads formed an uneasy alliance with the Rusted Stilettos to smuggle supplies and food into Glow City, and in return, the death heads get an almost exclusive corner on Glow City's drug trade. Over the last few years, both the Stilettos and the Death Heads have grown in strength as a result of this alliance. My sources tell me that Glow City's isotopes have been uncharacteristically passive in the face of this development, too. However, I'd keep my eyes on that region. They've recently made moves into the Verge area of Redmond as well, moving ever so slightly into First Nations territory and taking a small slice off of their smuggling trade. Death Head initiation rituals include high-speed races and jousts over Redmond's harsh territory, with initiates being graded on how much or little chrome is chipped or dented while the rituals go on. Oh, I should mention that moving to Redmond has caused the Death Heads to upgrade their wheels to better handle the decaying roads of Redmond. Now, it's not unusual to see Death Heads bikes with overly wide wheels or being converted into 3- or 4-wheel all-terrain vehicles with heavy-duty tires or even tank tread. Now, that's what I know about the Death Heads. I used to know more about the internal dealings, but once they moved into Redmond, details are harder to come by. For what it's worth, I've heard rumors that Stubbs, the former Halloweener, is often seen doing jobs at the Death Heads, particularly when fusion is directly involved. This may or may not reflect a romantic involvement. All right, here's the job. No negotiation here, chummer. I give you the details, and you take it or don't. The pay is 50,000 Nuyen per runner. It will also take a while, so for every week you're on the job, you can increase the pay by 15,000. The job is infiltration and smuggling. The Death Heads are among the least bad gang in the Barrens, at least as far as the people in their turf is concerned. As anyone else can attest, the Crimson Crush is bad as dreck when you cross them, but the metahumans in their territory like them just fine, at least compared to the others. So, being the kind-hearted person I am, I have a vested interest in keeping them as a viable power in the Barrens. I need you to infiltrate the Death Heads, become one of them, gather intel on their current plans, territories, and internal politics. When you become an official member or members, begin to suggest an alliance with the Plastic Jungle community for fresh food and ammo in exchange for protection along the Redmond Roads. Further, somehow convince Fusion to accept Arubia's invitation to the Funhouse. She's been very reluctant to get involved with the Dragon's games, but this is one of those times, one of those very, very few times, I want someone to deal with the Dragon. Arubia's dealings with the Redmond gangs has created a decrease in violence in the Barrens around the Funhouse. I'd like to see that decrease continue. Lastly, I want you to do a few smuggling runs from the Plastic Jungle to the Funhouse through Deathhead's territory in order to show the viability of such a route. Ideally, Fusion will bite, and this will cement their place in the Barrens and offer them a measure of protection from rival gangs while Arubia finds favor with them. Good luck. This is a doozy. When you're done, head to the new Silver Spoke. Its new location is along the 520 freeway towards the eastern section of Redmond. Drop a note in the tip jar that the job is done and then wait for a call. Once you receive it, head back to the Spoke and meet Murakami, an Asian human, and Zephyr, a Caucasian. They'll take your report and give you your pay. Murakami won't talk much, but Zephyr's a straight shooter. That's what you need to do the job. Now, go do some good bad.